That to me is really a different kind of conversation.
That is Simply Focus with Elva Cherney and Dominic Gilda for Live and Joy and Ease.
Are you ready for this new episode? Then please welcome your hosts, Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godin.
Welcome back to episode number 67. It's a beautiful day here in Austria and a beautiful day in New York State. And we're here on Zoom with Erin Cusano. Hi, Erin.
Hi there.
We're so happy to see you again. We saw each other the last time, I think, at Elliot Connie's SFU conference, and then a few months before at the SFBTA conference in Boulder. And we will see each other soon in Montreal at the SFBTA conference again. Yeah, and we are big fans of your work in the field of school counseling and are very excited to talk with you about your work today. So thank you for being here with us today, Erin.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. And we still remember the Canadian party at the SFBTA conference and our wonderful conversation we had about solution focus and about solution focused exercises. And now we work with groups. And of course, we're curious to see what has happened in between. You're a licensed mental health counselor in New York State. I have a private practice and are school counselor. So we're really fascinated to see how you use it there. So what fascinates you with solution focus?
Well, I've listened to your podcast several times, and so I thought that this question might come up. And so I thought a lot about that, and there's so many things that fascinate me about solution focus that I was kind of having a hard time thinking of, kind of where to even start. And I guess one thing to know is that I feel like I'm in my infancy as a solution focus practitioner, maybe approaching toddlerhood. I'm not really 100% sure if I'm there yet, but I think one thing that I'm just really fascinated by is the idea of taking small steps. I think for me as a practitioner, I practiced as a school counselor for about 20 years before I, kind of jumped in to solution focused. And I think that as a school practitioner, I have lots and lots of professional development opportunities over the years. My district is really supportive of mental health counseling and support for kids. And so there's been just over the years, lots and lots of professional development. And there's been many times, and I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I will go to a conference and I'll listen to a speaker that's really dynamic and inspiring and completely different than what I'm doing. And I'll go, be inspired and think, I'm going to go back. I'm going to completely change everything that I do. I'm going to just take this information and I'm going to change my practice and I'm going to rock the school. And then, I go back and in a school setting, there's lots of kids with lots of needs and parents and teachers and lots of things sort of coming at you all at once. At least that's been my experience. So what ends up happening is 3 months later, I'm like, well, now what was I going to do differently? Because actually I haven't, incorporated as much as I had hoped. And so what I found to be really different when I started learning this approach was it was very sort of accessible to me. And it was something that I could do, I could come back to my office and ask one question differently. I could ask a best hopes question every time I met with a student and I would notice what difference that made. Or maybe I would ask a coping question every time that I met with a student who was maybe upset about something. And so that for me, I feel like was a really sort of necessary, just the idea of a small step, not even like what next step are you taking, but what next small step for me made that accessible because it felt like, well, I can do something small. I might not be able to completely revamp what I'm doing overnight, but I can do one small thing differently. So I think that has been fascinating for me to see the ripple effects of that, gosh, when I do ask that best hopes question, when I do ask that coping question, when I do intentionally really try to stay in a solution-focused mindset with students, what happens? Because I've noticed that it's a completely different conversation and it feels different in a way that feels helpful. So I think for me, if I had to boil it down to maybe one thing, I think that small step piece was really, really just fascinating for me as a professional. I think it's also been interesting to kind of see myself develop as a professional in sort of this parallel process of experiencing the model myself in trainings and also, in my practice, sort of that doing and noticing and seeing what happened. So.
Oh, it's wonderful to listen to your story. And you just mentioned that the conversation was different and in a useful and helpful way. So how would you describe that your conversations changed?
So I would say one thing that I noticed, not to give specific examples, but if I, let's say, had a student come into my office and be really upset and possibly crying about something that had happened during the day, maybe something in the lunchroom, that in the past I might have focused on sort of what happened and what happened before that and understanding sort of the problem that would have caused maybe the upset. And so, for example, if somebody, were to share something around something that had happened, I might not ask as directly about the problem. I might ask about, well, gosh, who in that situation was supportive, or what did you do that you found helpful? I mean, I've actually seen students just physically sort of sit up and take on a different posture and engage in a different way when I ask solution-focused questions versus asking questions about, well, what happened and why are you crying and those kinds of questions. So for me, I feel like I've noticed a shift in the energy in a way that I feel, kids responding to in a way that they're sort of feeling maybe more empowered and more confident when I've asked coping questions, and the power of the what else question is really significant, because what I've noticed is that lots of times the first maybe one or two things somebody might mention are almost like the things that maybe kids would expect me to sort of want to hear. So like they might say, like, what has helped you in a tough situation? And somebody might say, well, breathing. Okay, what difference does that make? And then what else? Well, maybe, just reading in my room. Okay, what difference would that make? And then as you keep asking that question, as I've kept asking that question, I feel like the responses get to a different level even. I wouldn't say a deeper level, but almost more of like a sort of organic, unique little mini strategies that people sort of come up with, that then you can celebrate that they've just come up with these things without anybody sort of teaching them these things. Things that I could never predict, like, for example, a student saying, let's say the issue is anxiety at school. What helps you when you're, sitting in class and you're feeling really anxious? Like, what helps you to get through that time? Because you're not down here all the time. You're staying in classes most of the time. So how do you do that? And for kids to kind of come up with, when you get to enough what else is, come up with, at the end of the day, I'm going to see my dog and pet my dog. Well, how does that help you? Well, it just keeps my mind off of being so anxious. That's awesome. I mean, I would never have been able to predict that having the thought that I'm going to see my dog at the end of the day would be a helpful thing when I'm sitting in math class. So I just think, that to me is really a different kind of conversation than I was having if I were asking about, okay, so tell me about your anxiety and, what's going on when you're anxious. So I was working with a client once. She was very, very upset. We had a very solution-focused conversation about coping and what she had done that had helped her. And she had, probably 10 or 12 different really awesome strategies that she used. And as we were talking, she stopped crying. She sat up. She started thinking about different things and engaging differently with me. And at the time that she came down, I remember thinking, I have a parent meeting in like 20 minutes. I've got 20 minutes. Like, how am I going to, sort of get her in and out? Like, it's horrible to say that, but that's in my mind. I'm thinking, I can't be late for this conference because I'm facilitating it. So, and I can't leave this poor child crying in my office either. So what am I going to do? So in that like 20 minutes, she went from being just super, super, upset and crying. And it's not that it was my goal to really get her out of that, but I feel like just the conversation that we had and the questions that were asked around in other situations, what have you noticed that's been helpful to you? What have you done? And who has helped you? And friends? And, it was less than 20 minutes because I made my parent conference. She got herself back together and she was like, I think I'm ready to go back to class. I was like, that is awesome. So I walked with her out. We have two secretaries that sit there and I waved, goodbye, let me know if you need me, come down if you need to. I turned around and the counseling secretaries literally had their jaws on the ground. They're like, what did you do? And I said, I don't know. What do you mean? And they're like, when she comes down here and she's upset, she takes at least an hour and a half before she goes back to class, if she can even go back to class. So for me, that was like significant because it wasn't somebody I had a relationship with. It wasn't somebody that I had known for lots of, years. And it seemed like her response was so different that it was noticeable to other people. So I just said, I think it might have been the questions that I was asking her.
So there's so many changes within such a short period of time. You told us that 2 years ago you went to the SFPTA conference in Santa Fe, and from there on your journey really in hyperspeed unfolded. So what made you go to this SFPTA conference in Santa Fe?
Well, as I mentioned, it was sort of out of desperation a little bit, because in the past probably 5 years, we've seen a pretty significant increase in just numbers of kids struggling with, you know, things like depression or anxiety, and students, you know, maybe seeking help at the level of even hospitalization. So it felt pretty significant and, to be honest with you, a little bit overwhelming. I was just kind of looking for, like, what else can we do to try to reach more kiddos more, I guess, effectively and efficiently, to be honest with you, so that we're able to kind of reach more people. And I mean, the brief part, I think that was appealing to me, to be honest with you, just that there's only so much time and so many resources in a school setting. And the fact that the needs just seem to be so significant. You know, there's 10 students you need to fit in a day, and then there's somebody else that comes down with a significant struggle. It's just really hard to balance that. So anything to try to be more efficient, I think, was, you know, part motivating, but also effective, to not just like in and out, in and out, in and out, and not really make a positive impact in some way. So I think that, to sum it up, would probably be why I ended up at the SFBTA conference. And to be honest with you, I mean, it was in Santa Fe, and I'd never been to Santa Fe before, and that sounded really cool. So I was like, I'm just going to give it a shot. And my district is wonderful, and they supported that. So.
And Santa Fe is beautiful, yeah. So what happened sure at the is. Conference that really, yeah, made you stick to this approach or fascinated you?
Well, I attended the part of the pre-conference workshop that Brenda Zelter-Minden and Heather Fisk put on. I didn't realize it was actually intended for, you know, practitioners who were experienced and who were thinking of training people. That didn't really describe me, but I think that experience was just super, super powerful to me, because I recognized different parts of the model and experienced them myself. You know, the complementing aspect of solution-focused brief therapy, you know, that was part of the workshop. That to me was super powerful, because it's something that, you know, on a regular basis in a school setting, I just don't do that on a regular basis. I mean, I might have lots of complementary thoughts, but there's not a lot of systemic ways that we share this kind of feedback with each other. So that was really powerful to me. It was also really powerful, just that whole small step piece. You know, I don't need to have this whole thing figured out and how I'm going to do this, but I can just do one small thing differently and just notice what happens. I think that for me was empowering, but also a little bit sort of freeing, that I don't have to sort of be an expert in solution-focused brief therapy in order to ask a solution-focused question. In a school setting, I would have never said, like, I'm a solution focused in the capital letter sense of the word, like, this is what I do. But I felt comfortable saying, I can ask solution focused questions. And for me, that was really helpful to have that thought. I can just do something differently a little bit, and then I can notice what happens.
I think this alone is so solution focused. Not being the expert, but being curious about what happens, asking a question and see how the response is, and then, well, build your next question on it or your next formulation, and having a different kind of conversation. So instead of being the expert for it. So I think this is really appealing to me to listen to your story.
Yeah. And then what happened?
Well, then what happened is I came back and I was super energized and just really, really excited, you know, talking about this and sharing it. And I spoke with we call it like the pupil services director, who's sort of the central office administrator who sort of supervises the counseling staff. So she was the one that approved for me to go to the conference. So when I came back, I was having a conversation with her on the phone, because I could also see that, you know, this is a helpful therapeutic approach, but I was also really seeing the bigger picture of, like, this could really be a helpful thing for administrators, for like running meetings, for, you know, just conversations we're having in general. So I'm telling her about just what was exciting to me. And she said to me, well, would you want to do a workshop for our administrators? Because the district administrators have these 3-hour workshops once a month, because it sounds like this could be really helpful for even administrators. And I was like, sure, I'll do it. And then I was like, oh my God, what did I just say? Then I panicked and I called Brenda. So she was really, really helpful and generous in kind of sharing ideas and just, I think this would be great and this would be great. And, you know, I had some ideas, so I shared with her and she just was wonderful. And so that was probably the most nervous and anxious that I've been, because I thought, oh my gosh, if this just kind of is dud, then I'm it's like every administrator in the district. So that was in January. And the pupil services director had initially said, all right, in April, we have a time slot that's available. So could you commit to April? I was like, sure, that gives me like 4 months to get my act together, right? And then as soon as I committed to doing it, I know what happens. And I said, I got to figure this out. I cannot wait. You know, I'm going to really come up with at least a plan. So if I get called some week and they're like, okay, can you do it tomorrow? I'll be sort of ready. So indeed, I get the call like, can you do that next week? We had somebody cancel. And this was in January. So I'm like, oh my gosh. So I panicked and I'm, you know, just trying in my mind to come up with a good plan. And then, you know, Brenda helped me and talked me through some really great ideas. And then the workshop was awesome. And the feedback I got was really, really great and really powerful. And people kind of left feeling like not only affirmed as administrators and what they did, but also with some really good ideas of just, you know, coping questions or scaling question or complimenting. Just, it was very practical. So it wasn't like talking about it. It was just experiencing it, which is what I found so powerful. So one exercise we did, the complain exercise, where you're just listening to somebody complain for 3 minutes and then you point out, you know, you make two or three compliments that are genuine based on what you've heard. And that was one thing we did. We also did an exercise that I stole from Brenda. I think she calls it unwrapping your gifts, where you wrap up a, you know, a gift and there's different compliments on each layer of the wrapping paper. And, you know, they unwrap a layer of the wrapping paper, they read the compliment, and they find somebody in the workshop to sort of pass the gift along to who fits the compliment. And that was really interesting because people were, you know, not quite sure what to do with that. And then at the end, we did a resource gossip, which was super uncomfortable for people, but I think also really, really powerful for people. I mean, there were some other things thrown in there too, but, you know, those were some of the things I think people really responded to. We did a lot with scaling questions too, because I feel like in the school setting, it seems like there's a lot of sort of quantifying things in the school setting. And so, for example, if an administrator is dealing with a situation where somebody has said something that's hurt another student's feelings, or there's some level of distress, you know, to ask, so on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is you're fine with this situation, and 1 is like the opposite, this is the most upsetting thing that's ever happened, where are you on the scale? You know, if a student says, well, I'm like a 7, you know, and understanding that versus like, well, I'm a 1, I think that appeals, just that idea of like, okay, I can kind of see where, you know, where you're at and whether this is something that, you know, significantly an issue for you, whether this is something you're kind of bothered by, but like you're ready to move on with your day. So we did some exercises around that, and people also felt like, well, that's a really useful thing. And I can see myself asking this kind of a question in my role as an administrator. And I actually had a couple of administrators email me after the workshop saying, I used a scaling question and it worked really well or whatever, which was really super exciting for me.
So it was not by chance that you went to Brenda and Heather's workshop on train the trainers in Santa Fe, I guess.
I guess it was a good thing I went, because otherwise I don't know what I would have done. Yeah.
So what happened afterwards? So you did this training, and then while the administrators knew about it, well, how did the story further unfold?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, the same person, the pupil services director, asked me, and she said, would you ever be willing to, you know, do this kind of a training for the mental health staff and, you know, maybe for teachers? And so over the summer, last summer, I did a trainings for both of those groups. And, you know, that was collecting feedback every time, because of course, I'm new to this, I don't really know what I'm doing. But you know, just getting people's feedback and understanding what was helpful, what was useful, what people really liked was really great. And then I was just inspired to kind of share this approach with other school counselors, because I feel like there's so much utility and it's not rocket science. It's just sort of a shift of focus. And so I did one training in the community. We're part of a sort of a consortium of school districts. And so I just reached out to the person that coordinates that and said, what if I offered this and just see if anybody shows up? And so there was probably about 30 people that came to that. And that was kind of more from a mental health perspective. So that for me was just another step. And the more that I've, you know, I've done a couple of trainings this year, it's just really cool to see how people respond, especially school professionals seeing like, okay, I can use this. I can walk back in my office after lunch and I can do something differently. It has been really pretty neat to see. This past March, I did one small training in the community. So there were some school people, but also some community folks. And I was like really nervous about that for some reason, because I'm a school person. So I was like, well, how are they? Are they going to feel like it's helpful for them too? And, you know, indeed, it was, of course, not necessarily because of what I was doing, but just because of the questions being very helpful. So that's been really, really neat to see just how people are responding and feeling like there's something that they can walk away with that feels like a small thing that they can do.
And you were talking earlier about what brought you to Santa Fe. So really a situation where you kind of felt overwhelmed and so many kiddos that need support and less time for it. So how did solution focus change your work there?
So I think, I haven't obviously collected data, but what I've noticed is that, and this is a little bit related to sort of the idea of single session therapy, just thinking about what I do with students as like, if this were the only time we met, I would want you to walk away just with some really great ideas of things that you are already doing and maybe could do a little bit more of that you don't need to come back. So I think that the idea that every session be useful and helpful and not to the person and not asking questions just because I want to know about something, but because I'm intentionally really trying to help the person kind of look at certain aspects of a situation. And Dr. Jackie von Sifra-Bergs, when I saw her session on trauma and she had the white page with the black dot on the page, I thought that was such a powerful metaphor for any, whether it's trauma or just any problem, because the problem just becomes the black dot, but then we don't see the white space around the black dot. That to me, it was a really helpful metaphor in working with students and families to understand that there's definitely sometimes a black dot on the page, but there's all these other things around that that can also be really powerful.
You're listening to the Simply Focused podcast with Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godat, your podcast for a life in joy and ease.
You highlighted some really wonderful things, for instance, not asking for information, but being useful from the very first moment in a sense that you focus on different things, that you invite the kiddos to, from the first moment, think about what's helpful, what their preferred future is, what's already working, how they cope with this difficult situation. Mm-hmm. And by that, inviting them to a different focus and inviting them to see different things that enable them to act differently after the conversation you have. And seeing in the story you told us earlier that people already start to feel different in the conversation. So the change is already happening during your conversation. So these are like some spots and dots I can connect and see.
Right, yeah.
And it's so beautiful to listen to your story and see how you build on what works, especially when you talked about your trainings and also when you talked about your conversations you had and how you started and just asking a question and see what works and do more of that. Mm-hmm. And how fast it goes if we follow this path just by learning from all the things that work well and doing more of that. In the beginning, you mentioned that you are entering toddlerhood, and there was this wonderful conversation on the SFT list where people shared how old they are in a solution-focused way, kind of when they started and how many years they have been practicing. And it was so nice to see that Elfie and I were like teenagers now. So with 15, 16 years of practice, and it really feels like being a teenager and kind of exploring all the new things and maybe annoying the parents a little bit and things like that. So when you are thinking about your journey ahead, kind of into toddlerhood,
right,
what are you looking forward to the most?
I feel like I have to say something, and that is one of the things in my infancy that I was really just struck by. So I went to the SFPTA conference, and then, you know, I did the training in January, and then I was able to go to Elliot Connie's conference in February of that year. So it was sort of like a couple, you know, pretty close together, really amazing professional development experiences. So what I kind of felt like I grabbed or, you know, took away from the Santa Fe conference was sort of like this idea that I can do, you know, just a small thing differently and let me see what happens. And I'm going to try this and see what happens. And I'm going to do more of this if it works. And then I went to Elliot's conference and Chris Iveson was there and he did a session. And I was like, okay, I was just in absolute awe of what he did, because it was sort of like watching like a master, like artist paint a picture or something versus me like, okay, I have a paintbrush and I can draw like a little line on the page. But other than that, I'm still sort of, you know, figuring out how to hold the brush and how to dip it in the paint. So I just felt like, wow, it sort of was this little vision of like, you know, best hopes or like what this looks like when it's done, like as an artist, as a form of art, basically is kind of how I felt. Because I hadn't seen, even though in the SFBT, it wasn't like I saw like a live session or, you know, it was more about sort of these experiences. And so that was really inspiring to me. So then I decided, well, I have to go to Breathe brief summer school in London. So I ended up going there, and that was just like amazing for lots of reasons. But one of the things that I noticed about my experience there, so I, you know, go, I'm an infant. It's not like I'm even in my teenage years yet in this approach. And, you know, I'm in this room with all of these people, you know, I mean, these are people that are definitely teenagers and beyond. The training was just all of these exercises and, you know, practicing different components. And I have to say, because of sort of that strength-based questioning and, you know, okay, what did you see this person do really well? I felt comfortable. Whereas I think if it was a different focus where it was like, okay, what could this person do better? I would have been like, okay, I gotta go. You know, I don't know if I could have done that because I just don't know if I would have been confident enough to sort of feel like I could fully participate like I did when I, you know, just the way the training was structured and the feedback we were giving each other was just really helpful. And I thought that was another, for me, really powerful piece to take away is that you can really engage people differently when you're talking about strength, because how much, you know, more empowered and confident did I feel in that setting if the questions being asked, you know, what did you notice this person did that really impressed you, you know, versus like, well, what could have this person done a little bit better? You know, so I just had to say that that experience at Brief was just incredible. Just another way of sort of experiencing that. So I guess from my infancy, I think that was sort of my, you know, how infants are just so fascinated with lots of different things, you know, little things. I think that for me was part of that, that, wow, this is like artwork, you know, these practitioners that have been practicing for 30 plus years and have this just beautifully, you know, just being able to witness, just see and experience that was just super incredible.
So you realize that you're already on the way of becoming an artist.
Of the finger painting variety artist, yeah. Maybe not Picasso, but yeah.
So what are you looking forward to explore in the next month or, well, weeks maybe? You're on the fast track, so maybe days.
Well, I'm going to Terry Pichot's summer school, which I mentioned, and I'm really looking forward to that, especially now having a little bit of experience as a private practitioner. I feel like in schools, it's interesting because I've noticed in private practice, I mean, families are coming in perceiving a very significant level of need. Otherwise, they don't come in. So it feels in some ways for me challenging to sort of stay in that solution-focused mindset because I feel like there's a sort of pressure or momentum sometimes around the problem. So trying to really just honor that without shifting too quickly, you know, just in a helpful way, kind of pointing things out or making that sort of a natural part of the conversation. I think it just feels like there's sometimes families really need to kind of share whatever it is. And so to just honor that without sort of feeling like, okay, all right, you know, what's my next question going to be? To just sort of be in that space and honor that, but also then just invite a shift of focus. So I was working with a client once, and was really incredible for me because I was asking her about her preferred future and she was in a really, you know, tough spot. And she shared with me, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, like 10 is things are fine. And 1 is like the opposite. Where are you? And she was like a 1. And so I was asking her like, you know, suppose you wake up tomorrow morning and this miracle. And she had a really, really difficult time answering. And she would say like, this is really hard for me. And, you know, one thing I was really proud of myself for doing was just kind of staying there and be like, this is super hard for you right now. I can see that. And so any little thing that she would say, I was sort of like, wow, okay. So despite it being really hard, you're doing it. And then it was interesting. She came back another week later and had sort of moved up the scale a little bit. And it just was very interesting because I think as a practitioner to have the confidence in the approach or the question that I could sort of stay in that moment, you know, in a respectful way and not push to, well, you have to answer this question, but just like, acknowledge where she was. That felt like something that I was proud of myself for doing because I think, you know, sometimes that's hard for me to sort of have that confidence in the question, that the question will just be what it needs to be for the person and that it's okay if it's difficult and it's okay if they answer a little bit differently than, you know, something that works better for them versus like what, you know, I have in my mind.
I think this is such an important message you give here as well, to really acknowledge what is there and to stay with it. This is and understanding that people, particularly who never experienced a solution-focused conversation, sometimes have, that solution-focused is like the ticket to flee into the preferred future and not to talk about what's not good, what's not working well, or what's hard at the moment. And I mean, there are certainly a lot of things that need time and need this acknowledgement. And I think this is a very beautiful example of staying in this room and yet holding a space where opportunities can be seen. Mm-hmm.
So looking back at your journey in the fast track, there's one thing, one learning, one insight that might also be relevant for others, maybe other school counselors or other people starting and kind of being in all these first few years. It could really make a difference for them. What could that be?
I mean, I go back to that just small step. For me, that was a really powerful thing. As a professional who can sometimes feel overwhelmed by the needs and the level of needs and the number of kids. And I think whenever I speak with school counselors or, you know, when I have done the trainings for school folks, that resonates for people. I mean, there's so little time that if you give me something I can walk out of here and sort of easily incorporate into what I'm already doing in a way that feels helpful, that's a win for me. You know, for school professionals, I feel like that was so powerful for me. And I think that I've noticed that seems to resonate, that if there's something small, I can grab onto that one question. I can ask a solution-focused question without feeling like I need to be an expert in the model. That is a helpful piece. And I think, yeah, I was going to just mention too, that just the generosity amongst the community of solution-focused practitioners that I have, you know, met through the last couple of years, that's also really powerful because there's just sort of the spirit of like, you know, if something's useful for you, use it. And I think, you know, whether it was Brenda or you guys or really anybody that I've come in contact with has just been so willing to share their ideas, share what's worked for them, that's been really, really helpful as a new practitioner. And I think the one thing that I would love, you know, for the future in my community, some people will say like I'm solution focused, like on Psychology Today, they'll say, you know, solution focused will be one of the modalities they'll put down. But I'm not really sure what that means, because I think it may mean something different to everybody, because it's one of the 10 things that, you know, they will say like CBT or DBT or, you know. So I think that what I feel like I'm trying to do is cultivate relationships with professionals, you know, who can kind of consult back and forth around, you know, gosh, I have this client. What do you think? You know, what do you think would be a helpful question to ask when I feel like I'm a little bit stuck? So that is something that I would love to just continue to do, because it's a very different conversation in, let's just say my colleagues at school who would not necessarily say like I'm a solution focused practitioner. The conversation, if it's a problem focused conversation or it's focused on diagnosing a situation or sort of hypothesizing about why something is happening, to me that it's almost like a little bit of a clash of worlds for me. It just feels very unhelpful. And so looking for those conversations to be more helpful and solution focused, I guess I would say, but more helpful in the sense that I'm not necessarily most interested in like what the diagnosis of somebody might be or why something might have happened, but sort of, okay, so what's helpful at this point? You know, what would kind of help? Like I said, it's a very different conversation, you know, if you're not talking with somebody who sort of has a solution-focused mindset, which sometimes just feels like I'm not feeling it, you know?
Having a different kind of conversation, having a different focus. This is also how we would love to support our listeners with the challenge of the week. So, Erin, what is your challenge of the week to our audience?
So we talked in the beginning about sort of that space in front of us, and it's summer and I have that space in front of me. And so just maybe challenging yourself, if you have some space in front of you, whatever that looks like, to take a small step in a direction that feels helpful to you.
That seems a very great challenge for me at the moment. So thank you, Erin.
Yeah, taking this one step and then please let us know what happens. Let us know how it unfolds and well, what's useful when you go on. And comment in the comment section of our podcast. Go to www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then go to this episode number 67.
Yes, and please also let us know what inspired you in our conversation with Erin and what differences that makes for you and your everyday life. Because what inspires you might also inspire another colleague, another friend, other people around you, and maybe also other people on the other end of the globe. So please comment and let us know and share to inspire yourself with a different kind of conversation and inspire others by sharing the details of what works.
And we heard in this conversation this story that Erin told us that it can be very, very life-changing when you share your inspirations and share what fascinates you, and then suddenly more people do more of that. So let's be part of it. And yes, stay in contact, comment in the comment section, and you'll also find all the resources we mentioned like we always do.
Yeah, and one thing that Erin beautifully highlighted as well is the connection with other solution-focused practitioners and the beauty of sharing and the beauty of having connections with other people. So take your chance and come to the upcoming conferences. I think Elliot is just about to close the contract with a venue where his next conference will take place. Then the SFBTA conference will take place in November in Montreal. The EBTA conference will take place in Florence. And Dominic and myself will be at the UKA SFP conference actually this week in Bath. Then in Austria, there is the 10 years anniversary of the Austrian Solution Circle, which we will celebrate in October in Upper Austria. And there are many, many more conferences and places where you can connect with other people. So please go and let yourself surprise by what happens. And for those who are already regularly coming to those conferences, have fun, and we are looking forward to meeting you.
So once again, a huge thank you to you, Erin. It was such a pleasure to listen to you, as always, as we realized that the SFBTA conference is so great to see and hear your enthusiasm, and you go out and just try it and do it and learn from it, do more of that. And it's very touching for us to hear your story, and we're looking forward to see what else happens and what you will share with us when we meet next time in Montreal.
Yeah, so have a wonderful week and a great summer ahead.
Thank you so much. You too. We will see you soon.
Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Do you also like the Simply Focused podcast? Then help Elfie and Dominic spread the word. Give the Simply Focused podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes, Google Play, and other platforms. Plus, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.